Welcome to the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, where you'll get actionable tips and advice on major gifts, direct response fundraising, legacy giving, and much more from leading experts in the nonprofit sector. Now, here are your hosts of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, Andrew Olson and Roy Jones.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Andrew Olson, co-host of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast. I'm here with my good friend and partner, Roy Jones. Hey, Roy, good afternoon.
Hey, good talking to you, Andrew. I'm excited about this session. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got two
legends in the industry with us today.
Two very fun guests. So today with us, we have Bob Lips and Mark Stein, the co-founders of the Global Center for Nonprofit Excellence. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Great to join you.
Hey, guys, before we jump into the meat of our hour together, I was wondering, Bob, could you just take a few minutes, give us a few details? What is the Global Center for Nonprofit Excellence?
Yeah, I would love to. In the business world, it would be called an orchestrated network. The center, as our friends call us, are similar in concept to Uber or Airbnb, who are both orchestrated networks. But rather than bringing together people in cars or people in homes, we bring together the three groups of nonprofits, funders, and business professionals who serve the nonprofit community. And we do that all under an umbrella of operational best practices. So the center, along with the industry, we've built a set of comprehensive best practices, sort of the people, by the people, for the people. And they cover all six areas of an organization's operations. And they're the areas that you can imagine: program management and accountability, governance, legal, and risk management, fundraising, marketing, and communications, finance and accounting, then people and organizational development, or HR, and then finally, business systems, IT, and facilities. And taken as a whole, these six areas of operations cover everything a nonprofit organization does.
Huh, that's really interesting. So, all right, two questions here. First of all, how did you guys come up with this idea? What led you to this?
Well, after about 30 years each working in the nonprofit world, either in the C-suite or on boards of nonprofits or being major donors, and also being business professionals in each of our own areas of discipline, consulting with, serving these organizations, we saw a continuing theme and a continuing gap in the whole nonprofit ecosystem. So the theme is that basically nonprofits need more funding. If you interview any CEO of a nonprofit and say, what are your top three concerns? One of them is going to be, we need more funding. Likewise, if you interview funders, major donors or foundations, things like that, you ask them, what are the top three concerns you have in your whole funding world? One of those is going to be having confidence in the organizations that we are sending our money to. And so we've seen that, we've lived it, and we haven't seen any solutions for resolving those two issues other than people just, you know, strolling along in life, trying to raise more money, and funders having more questions about organizations. And because of that, funds are locked up that could be otherwise released into the nonprofit world. And so when we've asked funders what they're looking for, they're saying, we want more confidence in how these organizations are run so that we know our funds are going to be invested well. And then we say, like, well, where does confidence come from? And it's basically operational competence. It's one thing that we've noticed that, sadly, but the nonprofit world doesn't operate with the highest degree of competence always. And so how can we help them gain more competence in their operations? Well, competence can come from using best practices operationally. And so that led us to this focal point of creating a vetted ecosystem where nonprofits, funders, and business professionals come together with an understood set of best practices and help each other rise to the occasion.
So I think it might be good for our listeners just to understand. I know you said that the two of you each, I think, have about 30 years experience in the space. What drew you guys to the nonprofit sector, and why do you make your home here?
Yeah, really great question. Mark can talk about his background, but I started out as a business person. I'm a CPA and an attorney, also a professional risk management person. But my first career was doing CPA work, and I started out in Arizona, you know, working with a CPA firm and making the partners really wealthy. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, there's more to life than creating wealth, whether it's for somebody else or for myself, and wanted to use my business skills to have a greater impact on the world. Love making money. We can all make money on our hard labors, but hopefully there's something more than just that. And so with a real desire to have a positive impact on the world and the needs of society, I started looking for other venues than CPA firms that I could work and help the organization thrive in their purposes. We both happen to be people of faith, so our faith in God really does drive us to want to help the nonprofit world, help society, help alleviate suffering and poverty. And what better way could we do that by investing in organizations and helping them achieve their goals?
Bob and I have similar paths that way. I spent the first half of my life with a very, very much ambition for myself, and came to a crossroads where just had an opportunity to really see the tremendous need in the world, and felt that I wanted to spend the rest of my life helping people. So my ambition shifted. And about that time, prior to that, I was a pretty classic business guy, an entrepreneur, was involved in a lot of businesses, building businesses, growing businesses. Unlike Bob, with his designations, mine is a MBA. So I'm really thinking in terms of top line growth and using best practices to really leverage opportunity, and just saw tremendous opportunity within the nonprofit space, but very, very quickly also saw that it was a very inefficient market. There was just so much opportunity for every nonprofit to do better. So I spent the first 15 years or so in the C-suite, either national director of development or COO or doing something inside. But then when Bob and I got together, we realized that there is really this lack of operational competence within the entire nonprofit communities. Not to say that there aren't some great nonprofits, but in general, we're dealing with a group of individuals whose motivations are to do good in the world. And many of these folks did not come out of the disciplines that we're talking about. They came out of maybe social work, or in the case of faith-based, they came out of some type of ministry or faith-based training. And so what we try to do is use these backgrounds that we've had to bring everyone together so we can make greater impact, much greater impact together than just individually.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty stunned. I was on your website a couple of days ago, and I don't remember, I think it might have been in the about section, but there was a slide deck, and one of the slides said something like there were, you know, almost 2 million nonprofits in the nation, and I think you guys said that over half of them don't work from a strategic plan, which just blew me away. I know it happens, and Roy and I run into it all the time, but I didn't realize that it was that significant of a challenge.
Yeah, I think the other thing that was really important on that slide deck, Andrew, is the fact that most nonprofit managers think they're more competent than they actually are. Now, that is, you know, that's almost dangerous when you think about it, because if you have someone that thinks they're operating at a high level of competency and they're actually not, you have not only the opportunity cost of missed opportunity, but they're also operating at a substandard level. And so Bob and I started to talk about this, but as we were engaging others, practitioners and professionals and funders and the whole ecosystem came and said, yeah, we need a way to level up this level of competency. And in not just, you know, programs and management and accountability or finance and accounting, but across the board. And that includes, you know, the marketing development and communications area.
So that's an interesting one. You know, you guys talk a lot about best practices across organizations. And I think, you know, when I hear that, and Roy and I have done enough consulting together that we, you know, we banged our heads against the wall together and said, okay, you know, there are best practices that are being missed in major gift development, certainly in direct response and grant funding, you know, grant writing. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the other operational areas of a charity. Roy, I don't know, maybe you do with your new role at Mercy Ships. But talk to us a little bit about how improving best practices in those other areas also leads to organizations being able to raise more money.
Probably the most obvious thing, as Bob had mentioned, is that funders are looking for more confidence in the nonprofit's ability to deliver on their promises. Mm. Now, that's just not in the fundraising area. They're looking at finance and accounting. They're looking at people and organizational development. They want to see that competence runs across the board. And, you know, when it comes to program management and accountability, accountability and transparency are two words that we have heard so much of the last couple of years. And so there's a growing expectation by funders, and this is, you know, driven by major donors and foundations primarily, to raise the overall competence of all of the organizations. We have one particular foundation that has, we'll just say, a large number of nonprofits that they fund. They really are concerned about the operational impact as much as they are the impact reporting that they're getting, because they're concerned about sustainability of the organization.
It really is about stewardship when you boil it all down together. And they want to make sure that their every dollar invested has a positive impact. It's interesting. I just can't get out of my head what Bob said early on about you guys creating this organization as a real center, and, you know, at the center of both funders and nonprofits, to be a connector of the right kind of funders with the right kind of nonprofits. Talk to me about how that works. What are the mechanics of that?
Yeah, great question, Roy. Thanks. Early on in our working together, we connected with our peers in the industry, whether foundation heads or high net worth individuals, you know, fundraising consultants, CEOs, board members of all these organizations. And we got a clear picture that there's a gap in the connectivity of these organizations. Everybody is trying to do good, and connections are being made, but there's this significant inefficiency. And so as we sat back and said, how can we disrupt the current status quo of the whole nonprofit industry? It's doing good things, but sort of handicapped in many ways. What's a way that we could bring together an efficient interaction between the nonprofits, funders, and recognized experts? And we came up with the idea of helping either funders or board members or CEOs start with understanding where their organization is today, having a clear, objective picture of how well their organization is operating. And so to do that, we created a tool. It's an assessment tool. It's called OpEx 360, stands for Operational Excellence 360. It covers all six areas of best practices that we talked about before. And it's a tool that can either be used by funders in cooperation with the C-suite, or a board in conjunction with their CEO, or the CEO themselves can say to their organization, look, we need to find out, based on industry standards, how well we're operating in any of these, areas of best practices. So the tool that we created, OpEx 360, will be available within the next few weeks. And an organization can go online, sign up, take the assessment in any one or all of those six areas of operational best practices. There are 60 best practice statements in each of those six areas. And they're divided into several key elements. A key element for finance and accounting might be cash investment management or internal and external audit. So OpEx 360 has these operational areas divided into key elements or logical groupings of finance and accounting practices. And they're also identified as either foundational practices or more mature practices or practices that would demonstrate an organization is running at an optimized level. And so it's a pretty simple yet comprehensive assessment that the organization can take in anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. They can get an objective report back at two different levels. We provide an executive briefing. That's a 28-page executive briefing. And then for the people who are really going to try to dive in and help improve their operations, we also provide an 80-page detail report, which indicates every one of the best practice responses that they gave, a definition of what that best practice means, why it's important, the consequences, potential consequences for not doing that best practice, and then a recommendation as to how they could improve. So that's the tool that provides the gateway, the connectivity between funders and nonprofits and the business professionals who can help the organizations.
That sounds like a really cool tool. I haven't heard of anything else like that on the market. Is this a first of its kind?
Great lead in, Andrew. Thank you. That's what we found as well. I mean, all of us in any profession are familiar with the term best practices. And even in the nonprofit or faith-based or non-faith-based arena of nonprofit, there are different areas where the industry would say these are best practices. And you might find them in finance and accounting to some degree, or there's governance and board development best practices. We've never seen all of the operational areas have a comprehensive set of best practices that are all together in one integrated place to date. And believe us, we wanted to invest our lives in something that was gonna disrupt the environment in a positive way and that someone else wasn't already doing it. To this day, we've not seen what we're doing anywhere out there.
Prior to the online survey, I assume interviews and written surveys, how did you conduct the assessment prior to the new tool?
Yeah. In a best effort, non-integrated way. So if we were to be contacted by a nonprofit organization and they would say they made a self-assessment, informal or formal, and they said, we need help doing fundraising, building a fundraising program, or we need help finding a new CFO, or we need help coming up with board governance rules and so forth, we would respond singularly and go in and on the assumption that they know what they're talking about, either we at the center or through our network of recognized experts, we would come alongside and try to respond to their need. What we regularly find is that what might be, you know, a concern to them on the surface, they may either have the right understanding or not. It may not be their problem, but we can come alongside and try to help them figure that out. More times than not, if we're called in to help with something in people and organizational development or fundraising or finance and accounting, there's also other things that are going on in that organization that they quickly talk to us about. And then we can help connect them with specialists, professionals in those areas as well. But without really taking an initial assessment, it's difficult for the organization or for us to know where they stand. So the first thing that we do in any one of these engagements, even before the online tool, was to go in and make an assessment, understand the lay of the land, provide a report, and then a recommended plan to move forward. With the assessment, we believe that the organization can take the self-assessment in any one or all of those areas, have a much more objective understanding of what their real needs are, have a much more focused approach to finding professionals who can help them rather than just wondering what their needs are. So OpEx 360 is a great tool before an organization goes out trying to retain or do RFPs, find out in an objective, simple way what the needs really are and then move forward.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I'd like to add something to that. And that is that the way that this was built was not in a vacuum. It wasn't two smart guys just coming up with this idea. we reached in all six areas of best practices, we reached into, you know, the best and brightest, the practitioners. So if it was in the finance and accounting area, we aligned ourselves with practicing CFOs. And then we talked with major finance and accounting firms, and we had peer review, and we really dug deep, because I think one of the shortfalls, even with the best consultant, is that you're limited to the person or the group of people that they are associated with. And in our particular case, you know, we really wanted to see the perspective from all sides. We wanted to be able to see the practitioner side, the in that case, the CFO. We wanted to hear what the funder had to say. We wanted to hear what industry experts were looking for. And we brought them together in a way that would be holistic. One of the things, especially both of you gentlemen know, is that most nonprofits operate in a silo by design. I mean, that's how they stay on focus and on mission. If they're not on mission, then they'll be mission drift. They won't be able to do what they need to do. And so by design, we have narrow focused our ability to come up with the best and most objective remedies to problems within our organizations. So what we attempted to do with this OPEX 360 was really to give 10x value right across the board. You're going to get smarts that have been built into this assessment, the reports that you receive, that are not just going to be from one or two people. It's going to be from, you know, a group of folks that have looked at this from all angles. And we're going to, you know, help you understand which are the foundational competencies, like Bob was talking about. Which are the mature ones? Which ones are most important that you take care of now? And, you know, where do you start? What's next? And so we really wanted to put ourselves into the seat of that CEO or CFO or CDO or, you know, CPO, whatever that person is. Because you can take any one of these assessments individually. So if I'm a CDO, I may want to take it just to see how I'm doing, you know, as a leader, even without the rest of the organization taking it. Or if I have a small agency, I may only want to be I may only want to see a couple of them. But I think the more progressive and forward-thinking and really serious nonprofits are going to say, you know, we really had to see how we connect to our departments internally. We have to see how we connect with our funders and the industry experts that help us.
Yeah, you mentioned kind of the smaller nonprofits and then the larger progressive. Are there any kind of nonprofits that this OPEX 360 assessment wouldn't be good for?
Well, I think OPEX 360 it takes the operational perspective, regardless of, you know, size or flavor of the what your cause is. There are larger organizations that will undoubtedly be much more inclined to be concerned about their mature and optimized levels of competency. Smaller agencies may be more concerned about fundamentals initially. But I think what the question really is, do you need to know how you're operating right now? Do you need an objective look for someone to come in and say, you know, this is how you're doing right now? So we don't see it so much as size driven or specialty as much as every organization has these six areas. They may not know it, but everyone does.
So this is a really important point, almost a myth to debunk, because I know Roy and I live this all the time, but so many charities that we talk to, when we say, you know, this is a best practice, the response we get back is, well, but you don't know my organization. I have different donors. I live in a different geography. People in XYZ town just don't behave that way. I mean, all sorts of ideas like that. What I hear you saying is, put that aside. These six areas all have fundamental, regardless of size, sector, geography, best practices that, if not followed, could lead to failure. Am I, did I catch that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's right. So smaller organizations might receive a different kind of benefit and might have a little different experience using OpEx 360. So a smaller organization, a startup, OpEx 360 will provide a roadmap for them. So as they grow, as they want to operate with excellence, check off each one of those best practices that they're implementing. Some best practices, you know, take resources or time or, you know, support or money, but others are just smart things to do that don't cost an organization anything. Larger organizations will use OpEx 360 to see how well they're really doing, not necessarily as a roadmap, because if they've been around for many, many years and they're into the tens or hundreds of millions of dollars and they've got professional staff in every area, reality is that none of them are probably doing all operational best practices. So even for larger organizations, well-established, professionally staffed organization, there's going to be opportunities for them to say, okay, these are other areas where we can improve, fine-tune, operate better.
Are any of the nonprofits that are using the tool, how does it help them with funders or donors? Are any using it for that purpose?
So, Roy, the tool OpEx 360 is going to be released in the next several weeks. So, Okay. Currently and in the past years, we've been administering the assessment on a manual, ad hoc, interactive, consultative basis. So the marketplace as a whole has not seen OpEx 360 yet. But what they would do is either at the request of a major funder or their board or their CEO, they would instruct somebody in the C-suite, depending on, you know, which one of the areas of discipline it is, to go online, take the assessment, and then schedule a time with the C-suite and review the responses. Along with that, one of the things we do is we've got a proprietary algorithm that looks at each one of the best practice statements and it indicates whether, we've talked about this already, whether it's a foundational, mature, or optimized best practice, along with the type of practice it is, and we will provide the top three most impactful best practices that could be changed for each organization to focus on first. Once they do that, they can come back to us. We'll share what we observe to be the next three to five operational practices that they could improve that would give them the most impactful improvement as well. There was something we touched on before, and business professionals like you guys in Newport One, you are out there talking with people in fundraising and marketing and communications arena. And you're experts in those areas, and people hire you for that, and they expect you to be excellent in that, and you are excellent in that. But today anymore, it's not just enough for each of us to be excellent in our own area of expertise, be really relevant, and to bring value added to a nonprofit organization or a funder. If we're able to say, yeah, you've engaged us for doing this, we're doing it. I've also understood from our conversations that you've got needs in these other areas. And for you to be able to provide a connection for that nonprofit with the need in other areas like legal or finance or people in organizational development through a network like the center that already has vetted, known, confident relationships really puts a feather in your cap with respect to your clients or prospects. So that's a value added. The other thing is we've heard from some of our recognized experts that having an independent assessment tool like OpEx 360 allows them to come alongside their prospect or client and say, hey, listen, there's this industry assessment tool that can help you in any one of these operational areas. You've engaged us to help you in fundraising or finance and accounting. We can come alongside and guide you through this assessment. And it's helpful in that you're not the one that's disclosing or shining a light on the inadequacies in this organization. It's the OpEx 360 assessment. So you don't have to look like the bad guy. and it will provide an objective open path for you to see how you can really help them.
So I'm really excited about the launch of this. You guys said, it's within the next month, right?
Yes. Hopefully next week we're going to have it operational internally, and we're going to do beta testing with some of our recognized experts and funders and nonprofits.
That's great. And I think if I'm not mistaken, you guys were going to also create a special kind of exclusive discount opportunity for our listeners, right?
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. What we'll do is we will provide you with a code to put in your show notes. And anyone who uses that code will receive an immediate 20% discount and allows them to go in. Now, the one thing I do want to share is that this particular assessment is, we have such confidence there that when someone takes it, we want them to know that we're standing behind every single one of these. So if it comes out and they are dissatisfied, I want them to pick up the phone and call me personally. And I'm telling you, Andrew, if they're not happy, they get their money back. But I think what's most important here is that your folks will have first access. The listeners of this podcast will be some of the first people to be able to do it, and they'll get it with a discount.
That's awesome. Really appreciate you guys doing that. I think this will bring so much value to the overall market and certainly to our listeners. So thank you. Thank you again for making that available to them.
Oh, it's truly our pleasure. We know we've sat in those chairs. We know what it's like. And we want to be able to help them as much as we possibly can.
Cool. Hey, I want to shift this a little bit. You know, Roy and I are always, when we have these conversations on our podcast, always looking for new insights and you know, trend spotting or new tips that our listeners can benefit from and kind of implement immediately. What are you guys seeing across the market right now? What's the landscape look like from your view? And is there anything that you'd say, hey, you know, listeners ought to watch out for this, or wow, there's a really big opportunity here?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, Andrew. In the area of development, I think what we're seeing is a growing dissatisfaction among major donors and foundations with the type of communication they're receiving, and not only the frequency, but the actual type of communication. So I think what we're seeing is that what used to work was the value exchange of a normal nonprofit with a funder has been very little expectation in the area of value exchange. Basically, the donor would give money to help a cause, and many times that's where it would end. They may hear back, they may not, but I think folks are really starting to wake up and say, not only do I want to know what the impact was, I want to know how the money was spent. And that's why the operational perspective becomes so interesting. So we've really seen that, maybe because we've been focusing on it the last year, that we have seen this growing because we didn't see it before. So sometimes, you know, it takes fresh eyes to see these trends emerging. So I know that's one area that I bump into if not every day, it seems like many times a week.
Andrew, I'll add to that. Some other trends that we've seen are governments requiring more regulations, increases in penalties for nonprofits who don't comply with regulations, and the ever-changing environments with respect to legislation and requirements makes an organization who doesn't operate under best practice much more high risk today than they have been in prior years. There's also a greater focus on outcomes. You know, 100 years ago, organizations used to focus on what the cause was. And donors would say, oh, I love the cause of this organization and want to fund it. Then as the world became more efficient and international and business-wise, donors say, well, I like your organization, but what all are you really doing? Talk to me about some details. And so then the shift would go from the type of cause to activities that organizations were involved in. We've got 3,000 people around the world. We're, you know, meeting with all of these different governments. So they shifted from cause to activity, And donors liked, because it was a little bit more specific, but as the world got more and more specialized and donors got more and more businesslike, it shifted from that now to hard outcomes. Show me the money, basically. Show me the outcomes. What can I buy with my dollars? And I want to not just hear stories about it, I want to see verified proof that my dollars are being spent for certain things that you say you're going to do and you're actually doing them. And so that leads into another, you know, trend that we see, and it's more of a third-party verification, accountability, demonstrated outcomes. The other trend, which is you're closer to it than we are at some point, is the greater need for active, real-time communications. It's not workable anymore for an organization to send out, you know, just a monthly newsletter or a quarterly newsletter or, you know, anything like that. The organizations who are really succeeding today and growing are into real-time communications at some level. And that requires technology experts and communications experts and social media experts and so forth. Another thing, another trend is that there's a continuing pressure on the P&L. In organizations, if they're not running efficiently, they're going backwards. And then lastly, Mark alluded to this, and funders just want to be more involved. They not only want to have confidence in the organization, but they want more involvement. So the question is, how and when do you do that? Those are some of the trends.
That's a great list. I wonder, that last one makes me curious. Funders being more involved in an organization. You know, if I'm leading an organization, I don't know if I see that as an opportunity or a threat or maybe a combination of the two. If you could briefly give us your point of view on what both the risk and the opportunity in that is.
Yeah, well, you named the risk. Most nonprofit organizations want to do their thing the way they want to do it. And they have their own strategies and don't really want to have external pressures that can interfere or redirect them. And so that's the one risk. That's the downside. And it takes a very careful approach to engaging donors without inviting donors to, you know, interfere with operations. So there's that balance. And some organizations do that well. From my perspective, I would see that most do not. They don't even go down that road. But an organization who is really growing and cutting edge will have a program, a plan, a strategy, an approach to donor involvement. And it's typically focused on the major or mega donors. And they provide a vehicle that has its own boundaries and limits where donors can speak into what the organization is doing. They can take some ownership of maybe some major projects. They're treated more like private equity investors rather than people who are just writing checks to make charitable contributions. And those type of arrangements are the ones where we've seen personally that the organizations are growing. They've got major donor programs that are very effective. And, you know, I don't know what you're seeing, but we're hearing that there's a lot of pressure on organizations who don't have really good major and mega donor programs, because it seems like that's the area of growth going into the future.
Yeah, we're seeing exactly the same thing. In fact, gifts below $1,000 are declining, as are the donors that give them. And, you know, Roy, you can probably talk more about this than any of us, but the real growth in revenue seems to be coming from people who are giving, you know, gifts of $1,000+ and even, you know, up into that $10,000, $25,000, $100,000+. Do you agree, Roy?
Oh, that's right. I mean, I think I love the way you put it, Bob, that, you know, I mean, those five-figure, six-figure, and especially seven-figure donors that are out there, and when I look at this assessment, that's who I'm thinking about, because I want to be able to show them the things I'm doing right. And, of course, we all need to sharpen the pencil and improve certain things where this tool could be very helpful. But I'm just thinking about how this, as an independent third-party source, can demonstrate to some of my investors that they're making a good investment. And to me, I think that's going to be the most powerful result for me is not just sharpening the pencil or making improvements, but in demonstrating what we're doing right to those mega and major donors.
Well, that's right. You know, Roy, there's something to be said. First of all, to examine yourself is a wonderful thing to share with donors, that you are actually looking into this. You're taking third party perspective. You're learning about yourself, where you need improvement, and it gives you something to really talk about in a substantive way. It also shows that you're aware that there are some things that you can be better at, and this is what you're doing to improve. Now, as a donor myself, that gets me excited, because I start thinking they are thinking about these things. And to what Bob had mentioned earlier, I think it's been, you know, the sophistication of more and more individuals who start to become, who have really stepped into the investment role, who see how important it would be to have that same type of metrics and measurements moving into charitable contribution. And some of the things, like what we're talking about trends, we see more and more that donors want to be involved on the front end to talk about, you know, predetermined objectives. They know that, I mean, these are sophisticated individuals. They know that not every plan executes 100%, but they also know a plan with good objectives that are commonly shared, and there's a mutual responsibility. The chances of it being accomplished, or closer to it, the accomplishment of it, is a lot greater. So there again, that's where it starts to raise the confidence level of your donor, where instead of giving you a six-figure gift, they'll ask you, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do with it? Because you're giving me confidence that you are a thoughtful, accomplished professional. And I know that if I invest in you, I will see good return.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, we are just about at the end of our time together. Thank you again so much for being here. Really appreciate your time and appreciate the insights that you brought to the podcast.
Well, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew and Roy.
Before we let you go, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, probably the main website is the best way to go, and that would be theglobalcenter.net. So www.theglobalcenter.net. Then to go to, if they're interested in the assessment, opx360.com. That's opx360.com. Would love to hear from anyone that would like to talk more about it. They can contact us directly.
Awesome. And we will post that 20% discount code in our show notes, so that when they do go to opx360.com, they can take advantage of that as well and be one of the first organizations to get in on the online assessment. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, brought to you exclusively by Newport One. Newport One can make a difference in your fundraising, so that you can change the world. You can always reach us at podcast@newportone.com. Please take a moment to rate this episode on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. When you rate this episode, it will help more nonprofit leaders just like you to help find us and get the information that they need to raise more funds for their organization. Thanks again for listening today.